the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Indeed, thanks for joining us. We welcome you back to yet another hour of the Bucket Strategy Investing Program, long-running program. Many of you have been listening or watching the show for years and years, and we appreciate that. This is the best money show you'll find anywhere. That's the statement that I put out. The Brain Trust is here in the studio, standing by, ready to give you more strategy, more money advice. Professor Rick Plum here with me, Johnny Dean, from Lucia Capital Group, and we're going to take more of your phone calls and your emails just as we do right here on a daily basis. Now, we had a couple of lines open. Some folks hung up during the news, so it's a great time to call right now. If you have a money question, make your way to your phone. Call 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. We will answer your questions here live on the program. To send us your questions through the email system, there's another way to do that. You go to wealthed.com, our website. You go to the link that says find your answer, and we'll answer that question, those questions as well. Here to help you out, any money situation that you might have. Since everyone has money questions, believe me, you do, we're including you in that statement. So you just give us a call right here. Plenty of room on the phones as we start the hour. Professor Rick Plum here once again, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. We talk about strategy on the show, and I'm here to tell you that you need a bucket strategy, all right? One that's personalized to you, one that aims to meet all of your specific goals and needs. You call the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Get your plan started. The number off the air, 800-644-1150. Write it down. 800-644-1150. Everyone's situation is different. No two plans are ever alike, and no two people are alike. You find out if you're on the right path to retirement. The number again, 800-644-1150, at Lucia Capital Group, on the air, 877-PLANNER. Talking about seeing an advisor, and we mentioned this last hour, we talked about it for a little while last hour, Professor Plum, going to see a financial advisor. There's some people who never ask for help with anything. That's fine, nothing wrong with that. There are those who do need help with things, but they're afraid to ask for whatever reason. You know, money is a very personal thing with everybody. It's emotional to us, right? Our portfolios are something generally, especially if you're getting close to retirement, you may have been working on this for 30, 40 years, whatever it is.
Right, and there's multiple reasons why people don't ask for advice. A lot of people are ashamed to ask for advice.
Yes, in fact, that's one of the things that, now that you mention it, there's a list that I found of fears that I put together that stop people from going to a financial advisor for whatever reason, sort of culling together what people have told us over the years. And one of the top ones was, what will the financial professional think of what I've done?
And usually most financial advisors are just there to help you. They want to help you get to where you want to go. They want to make sure that you are successful at what you're trying to accomplish, because if they can help you be successful, you will stay a client of theirs for a while, because everybody wins in that situation. You feel better, then the advisor feels good.
But so, don't they sit there? You can see the client. You can see the person's point of view as they're sitting there, and one of the first things that the advisor might say to them is, "Okay, well, let's take a look at your statements. Let's see what you got."
Right.
And I mean, that's laying bare everything.
Right.
You know?
But generally, from what I've experienced and what I've seen from other advisors and things, they're not there judging. The only time I've seen an advisor actually potentially judge somebody is when the advisor comes in and says, "Here's what I have." And the client comes in and says, "Here's what I have." And the advisor says, "Okay, let's see what we can do to make sure that you can meet where you're going." But the person actually didn't come in to get advice. They came in to prove to the advisor that they knew more than the advisor. That's where it gets a little contentious, and it does happen. It's like they come in and they're almost bragging about what they've got. Well, then why are you going to see an advisor in the first place? Because everybody tells me I need to come see them. But most of the time, I have never, so far, I don't say that it doesn't happen, but when somebody, an advisor, is saying, let's take a look at where you are, it's not a matter of, "Oh my gosh, look at, are you kidding? You bought that? Oh,
or God, you, or
I can't work with you.
Yeah, or it's well, you don't have. I mean, most people come in with way more than this. Yeah. This is all you've got.
Boy, you're in trouble.
You're in your 50s. There's honestly no hope for you. I mean, an advisor would never say that, but
Never say never with advisors because it's all walks of life. And
let's say any advisor that's worth anything
salt, yeah.
is not going to say that.
But the idea is to take a look at where you are today. And unfortunately, this is another thing that goes on where somebody will come in and say, here's my account. Okay, well, is this everything you got going on? No, but I'm only going to talk to you about this one account. What can you do with this one account? Well, what are you trying to accomplish? I need the best rate of return possible. Okay, what else is going on in your life? Because before we take risk with this money, we want to make sure that all the bases are covered. Nope, we're not going to talk about the other. I'm not going to tell you anything about the rest. To me, that's not somebody that can really be worked with because they're not giving enough information about what this money needs to be doing for them.
Why would they not say what other assets they have? Are they afraid that it's...
No, not afraid. They just want to see, you know, because their performance is the only thing that matters with that kind of an individual. Can you beat this person? Well, what are we trying to accomplish? I'm not going to tell you what they're doing, but can you beat them? No, yes. I mean, and there's beating a certain benchmark. There's two ways to beat the benchmark. One is either to create something that gets a better rate of return, but to do that, you're probably going to take more risk. Or something that creates the same rate of return, but hopefully does it with less volatility. If I can create the same potential rate of return, or actually achieve the same rate of return over time as an index, as something else, but do it with less volatility, that's, in my opinion, a better portfolio. Because there's either two ways, like I said, there's two ways to win. A better rate of return with the same volatility or the same potential rate of return with less volatility. Those are both wins. Because it's very easy to take more risk. And in many cases, it's really easy to take more risk and not be compensated for that risk. So how you go about doing it, but I rarely have ever seen somebody look at it and say, this person did that. Now, there are times where, and I will admit to this to myself, I look at somebody's portfolio and I see a product in it that is something that I don't like, that was sold improperly. And I was like, well, you've got this, and unfortunately, we can't do anything about it, so we're going to take this and use it the best we can, but I wish you hadn't bought that. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But you have, so we'll deal with it.
But people, if the fear is that you're afraid of what the financial professional is going to think.
But the few times I've made a comment similar to that or something, the people go, yeah, I know. Or before I even look at it, I'm going to show you this, and you're going to, I understand that it was the wrong thing. I got hoodwinked by it. But here it is, and I can't do anything. Unless you can find something to do with it, here's what I got. Right. They know that it's not a good investment by the time they come in to see another advisor.
Or maybe they know that they haven't been adding money to their accounts, they haven't been paying a whole lot of attention to savings and things like that.
But the whole idea is, where are you today? No judgments. Where do you want to be? That's where it becomes an issue of you can or cannot make your goal. And it unfortunately is a discussion that you have, or many advisors have with clients or prospective clients. I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Client, you are not going to be able to do what you want to do. We had a call like this earlier last year where the person was 62 years old. They had $300,000. They needed $30,000 a year for the rest of their life from this $300,000 portfolio. So they wanted to find out where they could invest it to get $30,000 a year and not run out of money. And that's in a realistic sense, that's an impossibility unless they're
going to live to be age 72.
Yeah, 74. You know, we can give them a couple of years. They got a little
bit
of earnings
in
there.
Yeah, maybe a little.
But it's just, that's not a reasonable issue. Unless they say, oh, in 10 years, my house is going to be paid off and my mortgage payment is $2,500 a month and I won't need it anymore. Well, okay, that's doable, but not 30, so let's talk about what's going on.
Yes,
so,
the advisor needs to be realistic with the people and they need to understand that the advisor will be realistic. But as far as just them thinking, I'm sorry, but
I've never seen judgment yet. I'm not saying that they're not out there, but I haven't seen judgment calls where like, huh. I can't work with you because you've just done too many stupid things.
So another fear that we ran across that people may keep them from going to an advisor is fear of what friends and family will think. And I'm going to put really more family in this because this would be, and I'll say that this is probably more the husbands doing this, coming in with their wives, and the advisor says, all right, now I've got all your statements, and I understand that the man's been doing all the work. This is in my example. And the person is afraid that they will look like a loser.
Like they haven't done a good job?
Yeah.
Don't worry, she knows long before this that you're a loser.
Well, no, not, but I mean, from a financial standpoint, I think a lot of husbands and wives don't communicate.
Not when it comes to finances. I mean, it's just they leave it up to the other one to do.
Right.
And so they're worried about what other family members might think. Mm-hmm. Where I've seen that more often is they go to an advisor, but they're worried about what Uncle John or Uncle Charlie or, you know, because they're a successful person with money and they've managed money. And so why aren't you coming to them for advice? Why don't you go to your cousin Joe because he's an advisor? Go to them. It's like, right. I don't want to go to Joe, or whoever it is. So that's where I've seen it. But a lot of times we see people coming in where you're talking about one person handles the money and the other person doesn't so much. Typically, we'll be sexist here and say the man has been handling the money up till this point. We see the man coming in to create a relationship with a financial advisor, not necessarily for him, but for his wife, so that if something happens to that person who's been handling the money, there's a plan, there's a strategy, there's something in place, there's a relationship, so that the surviving spouse doesn't have to be thrown to the wolves.
Well, and that's a great point. We're going to talk a little bit more about that particular issue when we come back. All right, anything that you have, any question, money question that's on your mind, money issue, whatever it is, you give us a call because the Brain Trust is standing by. Professor Rick Plum here to answer those money questions. Lines are open, 877-PLANNER, 877-PLANNER. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Got some lines open, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. I want to remind you, too, that if you want to meet the Brain Trust, Professor Rick Plum or Terry Keyes, who is also traveling around with Professor Plum, and any of the local advisors that happen to be in your area, check out WealthEd.com, the spring series of the Lucia Capital Group Retirement Income Strategies Workshop is underway. And if you'd like to know where the Brain Trust is going to be, best place to go is to WealthEd.com. There are several cities still remaining on the tour. It's a tour, right? Is
sure.
It sort of like we're going to get a big bus together?
Fun.
Big Partridge
Road trip.
Family bus.
Road trip.
That's right. Or a Madden Mobile or something like that.
Madden Mobile.
Madden Mobile.
The Partridge Family
nice.
Bus didn't look all that comfortable.
No, it really didn't.
It was
a problem. Why would you have a whole bus for just like six people?
They had a lot of gear.
Didn't make sense.
I mean, they were a rock band.
But they left
band.
All the seats in there, and the musical equipment was
never
on
the
in
roof.
The bus.
It was on the roof.
Well, yeah. All right, so you can join the Brain Trust throughout the spring series. So check out WealthEd.com, WealthEd.com. You can sign up. Oh, by the way, I should mention that they're all free. Bring your money questions. You don't have to bring your money. You might want to bring a pencil, too, and take some notes. 877-PLANNER, our number here, PLANNER. So, Professor Plum, you said this before the break, and I think this needs to be brought up before we get some emails and phone calls. Again, 877-PLANNER. Our phone lines are open right now. You have a situation where call it the husband, because I guess this is more
traditional.
And it's true in my case, too, where the husband perhaps has handled the finances for perhaps an entire marriage over the course of 10, 20, 30, 40 or years or more. And then something happens to the husband, as the men tend to die earlier than the women. And the wife is there and stuck with absolutely no idea of how much money is anywhere. I knew of one case where the wife didn't even have the passwords online to be able to go on and pay the electric bill. And there was a disconnect between what the wife and the husband, they had different duties, is what I'm saying. So I believe, at least if you have an advisor, somebody who's got a plan put together, that whole portfolio mess that the wife, for whatever reason, for 30, 40 years, in our example, didn't have any clue about, she's at least got some of that covered.
Well, and that's where it comes in. We see it quite a bit where a couple will come in. Generally, we're going to be traditional in this. The man comes in and lays out the foundation. But when the plan is presented, they bring the spouse in, even if the spouse doesn't have a great understanding or desire to understand what's going on with the money, so that they know that there is a position for everything. They know that there is a strategy that the person they've trusted for the last 30, 40, 50 years to manage the money has agreed with and has gone along with. And they know that they can continue doing what they were doing without having to start doing it all on their own and start from scratch, start from ground zero and rebuild what's going on. And in many respects, they like having the idea that they know where the money is. They don't have to know where each account is. They know somebody who knows where every account is.
Yes.
And that person, and because financial planning is a relationship business, you won't continue with an advisor that you don't have a decent rapport with. It's nice to find out early, and especially if I'm the husband bringing my wife into this, if for some reason the advisor and my wife don't get along, I'm not going to continue using that advisor. I want to know that now before I'm gone. And so I want to introduce them. I want to get that relationship started. I want to get everything moving so that that advisor can step in and help my surviving spouse continue through. And I've built up trust with that advisor to continue doing what is in my, you know, my wife's best interest. And that's what we started the hour off, first hour off talking about. How do you pick an advisor?
Right.
It's not something you can just necessarily do out of the phone book. That's a starting point in some respects, but it takes time to build up that rapport with that individual to make sure you understand and they understand that we're all working on the same page, because that's the way it works. It's not an overnight. CFA, CFP, CHFC, designations help, designations matter, but they're not the end-all be-all of everything. And so
no, it does not. As we say before, it does not imply either a level of knowledge, although it might to part of
the degree. You have to maintain a certain amount of knowledge with that.
But you've also got to have the rapport, as you said. It all falls together. Okay, so we'll talk maybe later on this hour about people who say, well, the reason I don't go is because I can't afford it and I don't want to get ripped off. There are a couple of legitimate questions that people are asking. So we'll try to address those if we can later on this hour. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Back to the phone lines. Let's see, Debbie in Twin Falls, Idaho is up next. Hi, Debbie.
Oh, hi.
What's up?
Well, I just have a couple questions. I've recently retired, actually, and my questions regard Social Security.
Yeah.
I just was excited to collect it, and I'm 62, so I started collecting. And then I'm hearing all these things like I could actually collect off of my husband's, or my husband can kind of collect off of mine, a spousal benefits.
So let me ask you a couple of questions. How old are you now? You took your Social Security at 62. How old are you now?
I'm 63.
Okay, so you've been taking it for more than a year.
Right.
And how much how much is your benefit?
It's only like 772. It's not that much.
Okay, and your husband, how old is he?
He is 63, so he's 62.
So he's younger.
Right. Okay.
And how much is his benefit projected to be, or has he started his?
Well, he hasn't started it.
Good.
He still farms.
Okay, so he's still working. You got him out on the farm working. So do you know what his benefit is projected to be?
No, I don't. I have no clue.
That'll be an important part of this. But let's go back to the questions you had. Can you take a benefit from your husband? No, not right now.
Oh, I can? Okay.
Not right now because of two reasons. First off, you took your benefit early. Your benefit at full retirement age would have been a little over 1,000. So you've already taken your benefit, and it's unlikely, unless he has a very high benefit, that the spousal benefit would be at least as much as you're taking right now. You can't pay your benefit back. You're stuck with your benefit right now unless a spousal benefit becomes available that's higher. You can't take a benefit from him unless he's actually applied for a benefit. That's the big issue. Until he applies, there's no chance of you getting anything from his work record. And even if he does apply, it's only going to be a very small chance that you get anything. But now, the issue is whether or not at some point in the future he'll be able to take a benefit from you. He's 62. Did he turn 62 in January this year, or did he turn 62 last year in 2015?
Last year in September.
Correct. Good. Correct answer.
Good answer, Debbie. it's helpful in this particular case.
If he waits, or continues working, or waits until he gets to full retirement age, which is 66, he can choose to take a benefit from your work record. He cannot have that option before full retirement age. But if he's going to keep working it for a couple more years anyway, he might as well work till 66. And then at 66, he applies for half of your full retirement age benefit. He'll get about $500 a month at that point, and he can then not apply for his own, wait for it until 70, pick up a bigger benefit then.
Debbie, I want you to hold on a second, if you can, because I think we need to explain this a little bit more, how this works, and because he's already age 62, by the time January 1st of this year hit, you do have a little bit better benefit than those who are younger than that. So hold on if you can, and we'll answer more of your questions. 877-PLANNER, talking to you about your money, right here on Bucket Strategy Investing. Rocking out with Professor Plum, 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. It's Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean and the professor answering your money questions. We got a couple of lines open right now still. So if you've got that money question that you just can't wait till the top of the hour to have answered, now is a great time to call. 877-752-6637 spells out PLANNER. We'll also get to more of your emails coming up in just a moment. But now, I had asked Debbie to hold on in Twin Falls, Idaho, because she had a couple of questions on Social Security. Debbie, you're still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Now, Professor, you had mentioned a strategy. Explain this again, if you would, for Debbie, because it was just a very quick 30-second thing, and she's concerned about her taking a benefit from her husband, or her husband being able to take a benefit from her.
Right, and she's already been receiving her benefit for more than a year, so she can't undo it. She can't stop it right now, at least not voluntarily. She'd have to go back to work for that. So her benefit is what her benefit is. She took it early. It's a little bit reduced from what it would have been if she'd waited a little while, but hey, it is what it is.
Right.
Nice to have the money coming
in. But Debbie, I want Professor to explain this to you now.
Now, the question is, what are we going to do with your husband's Social Security? He's currently working. He's not taking his Social Security benefit. He is 62, and he was 62 before the end of 2015. That's a key here, because it allows him to, at some point in the future when he's full retirement age, his age 66, choose to take only a retirement benefit from your work record, a spousal retirement benefit. He would receive a benefit equal to half not of what you're actually receiving, but half of what your full retirement age benefit would have been if you'd waited until 66. And that would have been been around $1,000 a month, a little over $1,000 a month. So he's going to receive about $500 a month if he waits until 66 to apply. And so, assuming he has not applied for his own, worst case scenario is he applies for yours at 66, half of yours.
Okay. I need to know. Okay.
And then,
that makes sense.
And then he does not apply for his own. Now, I'm assuming there's some longevity and that one or the other of you will live into your mid-80s.
Is that the case, Debbie?
Oh, probably.
Okay. So, this is going to make some sense. And actually, the break-even period is a little shorter since he's going to be getting $500 a month anyway. And then when he's 70, he goes in and he actually applies for his own. He hasn't applied for his own yet, but at 70, his benefit will have grown to the largest amount possible that for the rest of his life. And unfortunately, he dies too soon. You step up to that age 70 benefit. Now, it will be very nice to know what that benefit's going to look like. So it would be nice to go to Social Security and or when receive the statement to get an idea of what he's going to get, or go online and just do a projection to see what he's going to get at age 66 and age 70 so that we can make sure that this is the right plan of action for him.
I see. Because if he did retire, let's say, at 66, then would I have a choice of a spousal benefit on him?
Well, it's not going to be anywhere near $500, and so it would probably be better for him to take it off of you, assuming one of us has some longevity, at least one of us has some longevity.
I see.
And your benefit is $775, so your full retirement age benefit, let's call it, $1,050 or so. The best bet, if he had maxed out the wage base, he was making $120,000 a year or the equivalent for the last 35 years, the best thing his benefit would be is in the $2,650 range, which means the best possible. So spousal benefit would be about $1,350, $1,310, call it $1,300. that's not that much more than your age 66 benefit already is. So you may get $100 to $150, maybe $200 as a spousal benefit if he's completely maxed out, which may or may not be the case. But if we do it the other way, he gets $500. $500, better than $200.
Oh, okay. Well, that helps me a lot.
I know it's a lot of information, Debbie, and it can be confusing. But the key here, if you really wanted to do what Professor Plum says, is this: have your husband. You're taking yours. Have your husband wait until he turns full retirement age, age 66. He applies. He does what's called a restricted application.
Yes.
That's what it's called. He will get at that point roughly what $500.
A little over $500.
$500 a month. And he can receive that without having applied for his own. While he's getting that $500 a month, which is off of your benefit, that will allow his benefit. He will leave that untouched, his own,
to keep
and
growing,
that
yeah.
will allow it to grow. At age 70, then, he can turn on his own benefit, much higher benefit. And all the while, between age 66 and 70, he's been taking this $500 a month based on yours. So restricted application at age 66, and then he can apply for his own at age 70.
But it will be nice to know what his projected benefit does look like to make sure that this works
yes,
in your
that,
favor.
That is helpful, yeah.
To do that, you can either wait for them to send you a statement, which they're supposed to be sending you in every year now that he's 60 years of age, or go online at the Social Security website, and in the lower center right portion of the screen, it says benefit estimator or retirement estimator. He can go in and put his information in, Social Security number, date of birth, mother's maiden name, the state that he was born in, some basic information like that, and it'll project what his benefit will look like at 62, 66, 70 years of age.
Perfect. Okay, so my question is this, I've read that they're going to be changing this spousal benefit. Is that true?
Well, one of the questions I asked you was he 62 by the end of last year? And your answer was yes, which means they are not changing it for him. If you had told me he turned 62 in January, then it would have changed for him. So he made it under the threshold. He does still have this available to him.
Good to know. Okay, well, thank you. Been a wealth of knowledge. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the call, Debbie. I'm glad you called. Take care of yourself. It worked out for them. They can do, her husband can do a restricted application, again, because he was already age 62 by the time it hit January 1st of 2016.
He met that age requirement. Yes, he did.
Yeah, and it's a great strategy, and it used to be that everybody could do that. But unfortunately, they've changed it for whatever ridiculous reason, and now...
For all us young whippersnappers that were not 62 by the end of 2015, we don't have that option available anymore.
No, we don't. But it's nice to know that they can do that. And I know it's a lot of information. It can be confusing. If you have questions on this, you can give us a call, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Let's see. I have a lot of Social Security questions on the emails. Just to sort of mix it up, I want to get to one that's not necessarily Social Security related. We'll take them all. It doesn't matter. But Evelyn in Burlington, New Jersey says, my Roth IRA has lost $10,000, which I put in this year. Should I stop the weekly payments and put the money into a bank account?
No.
If I had done that, I would still have the entire $10,000.
Now, is this money going to be spent in the next couple of weeks, next couple of months, even the next couple of year or so? If it is going to be, there's no reason to put it into a Roth IRA. The reason you were putting it into a Roth IRA was because it was a longer-term investment. And volatility, yes, we're having a lot of that volatility right now. Volatility can actually help the long-term rate of return over time. But if the time horizon is short, then you shouldn't be putting it into a Roth, really, for that matter. If it's less than 5 years, you're not going to get anything out of the Roth anyway from a tax advantage. In fact, you're going to hurt yourself. So the idea is that you were putting into a Roth, which meant to me that it's a long-term time horizon, and the long-term time horizon means you want, and also because you're putting money in weekly, it said, you want that volatility. You want to see it go down and up and down and up, because when it goes down, you buy a lot of shares. When it goes up, you don't buy that many shares. It helps your overall rate of return by continuing to put money into it right through these downturns. Now, at some point, this downturn will recover, whether it's this year, next year, 5 years from now, I'm not sure. But at some point, we will recover from this downturn. And all these purchases that you're making while it's on sale, we'll come back and do a much better job for you. If you stop doing the Roth IRA, stop doing the more volatile investment that you're dealing with, and you put it into a bank account, what are you going to get? You're not going to lose anything in the short run, but this isn't a short investment. This is a long-term investment. You're going to get 0.5%, maybe 1% for a while, and nothing else. The putting money in weekly is not giving you any advantage. It's just, you know, accumulating. It's not really doing anything. So do you have a long-term time horizon? If so, continue exactly what you're doing. If this is a short-term time horizon, you need to change what you're doing altogether because you're doing the wrong thing. So we need to take a look at some other things in your life. But Roth IRA to me tells me longer-term investment. Take advantage of that dollar cost averaging.
Now, 10 grand, that's a lot to lose. So, I mean, in a year, obviously we're down.
And I'm not sure how that, she put in 10, so there must have been money in there already.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
So maybe there was 100,000 in there, and she's added 10, and it's now only worth $100,000. So she lost the 10, in theory, from a value orientation, she lost the 10 that she put in. You didn't lose it. It's invested. And the investment went down in value, but the investments go down in value and go up in value. I'm assuming you're in at least a diversified portfolio. You're not putting it into a one individual security that could go out of money, could go out of business.
She hasn't lost it until such time as it's sold or, I guess, you know, liquidates itself.
As long as she's using an appropriate investment vehicle, even if it is volatile, time will help.
Yeah, and that's the whole point. And again, this gets back to investor behavior once more. Maybe tending to panic and saying what I should have done was this, so I'm going to do it now, when now, of course, is probably too late. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. More of your emails and phone calls, trivia as well, just ahead. Bucket Strategy Investing continues right after this. Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, standing by. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Some calls and emails to get to, and not a lot of time before the top of the hour, so let's continue on the phone lines. Tom, next up, Downey, California. Hello, Tom.
Oh, I can barely hear you.
Well, I'll try to shout. I don't know if that's better or not, but okay. How can we help you today?
Well, I got married last year, and my wife's ex-husband had died about 5 years ago, and we both currently work, and we're both 59 years old. And I understand that she can collect on his benefit if she wasn't married. I just trying to find some information about that. I can't find that anywhere.
Well, that if she's not married at age 60. Now, I'm going to go back to the first marriage for her. Were they married for at least 10 years?
Yes.
And then he died after they were divorced.
That's correct.
Okay, if she gets remarried, as she has, before age 60, she's no longer entitled to a benefit from the late ex-spouse. But if she were single at age 60, she would be eligible for a survivor's benefit from her late ex-spouse as long as she's not working. Working will affect the ability to get a benefit if you're under full retirement age. Her full retirement age is 66 or so. So, or maybe 66 in a couple months. So there's a couple things going on. Will she be retiring anytime soon?
She would like to.
Oh, then
other question was, like, I said to her that, well, we could get divorced.
Yes.
And then she'd be single again. And then after she's 60, I guess she can remarry without the penalty.
After she starts getting the benefit, after she's eligible and starts receiving the benefit, she can get remarried again.
Okay, so well, we'd have to get divorced then, correct?
I hate saying that, but I mean,
he won't tell you one way or the other.
I'm not going to tell you to get divorced, but
if you did,
it would open up some potential opportunities for her if she were not working to be able to receive a Social Security benefit, a reduced Social Security benefit from her late ex-spouse.
Okay. Yeah, that's. So it's when she turns 60, then she can collect on him. Assuming she's not working.
Yeah, there's a
retirement earnings test.
Yeah.
And the retirement earnings test starts reducing her eligibility for benefits if she makes more than roughly $16,000.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's making quite a bit more than $16,000, then she's not going to get much in the way of any benefit.
Okay. Yeah, she would like to retire like next year, you know, like when she turns 60. So.
Well, you're going to have to let this one get away for a while then and hope she comes back later.
Yeah. Yeah, she's okay with it.
Oh, well, all right. Well, that, there,
she's been looking for a reason to divorce Tom. I mean, come on.
He didn't mean that.
I'm kidding. You were only married a year ago.
Yeah. Well, there's your answer, Tom.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for your help, guys.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. We've had that. It's come up before, too.
For anybody who is 58, 59 years old, who is a widow, either from an ex or from a current spouse at the time, you may want to postpone the new marriage until after you're 60, until after you become eligible for a widow's benefit, start the widow's benefit, and then they can't take it away from you.
Yeah.
And now, then, but if you get married before 60, now you're tied to the new spouse. You don't have any strings from the old spouse.
You know, and
anymore.
I would think that if anything, if they ever change anything in the future, like they've changed, that may be one of the things that they decide to change. Congress, I mean.
What part?
Saying that you know, if you wait till after 60, they can't take away the widow's benefit. I don't know for sure. I'm just guessing. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Hey, I've been wrong on this. I was wrong once before. Beverly, Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello, Beverly. How can we help you today?
Hi. We talked with one of your counselors last year and to talk about our Social Security strategy.
Yes.
And it was determined, I'm 60, my husband's 63. We determined the best strategy for us would be to, at my age 66, his age 69, I start drawing mine, he draws half of mine, and then at 70, he starts drawing his full benefit.
Okay.
After listening to the caller before last, is that strategy affected in any way by this new law that went into effect?
No, it was not, because he is the one that is trying to do the restricted application. He is the one that's trying to choose between your benefit or his own benefit, and he did turn 62 before the end of 2015. So as long as he's the one making the choice to choose one or the other, we're fine. If the other thing had happened where you were the one trying to do a restricted application, that got thrown out the weeds. So you cannot do that, but you weren't planning on doing that anyway.
Right, right. Okay.
So you're good to go, Beverly.
I wanted to hear. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. We had another one just like that, yesterday, asking the same kind of a thing.
And for the next couple years, we're going to get a lot of questions on, has this new law affected
me? So let's, since Beverly brought it up, let's just say again how the law affects people who...
Well, there were two very common claiming strategies. One was known as the file and suspend option. And now they've changed that. If you cannot voluntarily suspend your benefit before the end of April of this year, you will no longer have the right to do that and still allow somebody else to receive a benefit from your work. That was why a lot of people did it. And so to be able to voluntarily suspend it, you have to be full retirement age before you voluntarily suspend it, which means if you're not 66 before the end of April of this year, you're not going to have that option. The other option, which was also very popular, not the same option, different option, was called the restricted application, where one person at full retirement age who had not collected any type of benefit yet could elect to choose only the spousal benefit without taking their own benefit first. Prior to full retirement age, we've always had to take our own retirement benefit first, and then only if the spousal was larger could we have the spousal. But if you got to full retirement age, you could choose. Take one, leave the other grow, your own grow, until 70. That was very popular. They are doing away with that option. Now, how are they doing away with it? If you have not reached age 62 before the end of 2015, you don't have the option anymore. Anytime you apply for a benefit, you are deemed to be applying for yours and or the spousal, and you're only going to get whichever one's higher. Therefore, you can't choose one to let the other grow. You're going to take it. And so, luckily for Beverly, her husband did turn 62 before the end of last year. He still has that restricted application option. And their plan that they put in place last year before the Congress changed things isn't going to be affected by these new rules.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two deadlines. April of this year, end of April of this year, and 62 by the end of last year. They have different meanings.
877-PLANNER is our number on the air. If you want to talk to Professor Plummer or any of the advisors off the air, Lucia Capital Group, to ask about your Social Security or your retirement plan, 800-644-1150. That's the number. For Professor Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.